Second Impressions by Mem, read by CookieMom6067. Joe wakes, slow, groggy, and sore, to two unfamiliar scents in a human home. He stiffens, every joint and muscle aching, and tries to assess how much shit he's in as he cracks his eyes open. It's late morning, birds twittering outside, and he's in a very comfortable bed, soft blankets pulled up to his chin. Under them, he is dressed in someone else's pants, and his right arm is bandaged. It still hurts like hell, but it's certainly better than it had been last night, when he'd had to give up on running, and Joe sits bolt upright and regrets it immediately, head pounding as his vision spins, making him cover his face and groan when that only aggravated his bad arm. Footsteps start up, and before Joe can even brace himself, the bedroom door swings open, revealing the man, the huntsman Joe had so stupidly stumbled upon last night. Trust Joe with his luck to be fleeing one village's huntsman only to run into the next. Joe doesn't realize he has crowded himself against the corner, teeth bared and a growl rolling in his chest, until the man holds up both hands, palms up and eyes wide. "I'm sorry," he says, hovering on the threshold. "I didn't mean to..." "How long has it been?" Joe asks, each word rasping in his throat. "How long have I been out?" "Only since last night," the man says, sounding like he's trying to be soothing. "I brought you home after you passed out." "How far?" Joe interrupts. He knows he is being rude to the very man who had rescued him, but he doesn't much care when that man is a huntsman. "How far are we from yesterday's woods?" The man blinks. "Not far. We live just along its edge." Joe shoves the blankets aside and drops over the side of the bed, crouching for a moment before dragging himself upright. The man starts toward him, looking concerned, but Yusuf pushes past him, leaning heavily against the walls as he finds himself in a narrow hallway that leads to a kitchen, and then there, the front door. Joe ignores the ache in his legs and the calls of the man hurrying after him as he strides out of the house. There is an older woman sitting on the porch who drops the leather she is working on as Joe passes her, probably because he yanks off the pants he woke up in before breaking into a run, letting the shift overwhelm him as he hits the tree line. He's not actually an animal, thank you very much. He has enough manners not to ruin somebody else's clothes by shifting in them. Nikki reaches the front door just in time to see the man stripped naked in front of his mother and run off towards the forest. Just before he reaches the trees, the man seems to dive forwards, and then he's a wolf again, disappearing on all fours into the woods. Nikki curses before immediately apologizing as his mother glares at him. She waves it off and then gestures after their runaway guest. "Well," she asks, raising her eyebrows, "aren't you going to go after him?" "What? Why?" Nikki replies. "He obviously doesn't want to be here." "He's still injured," his mother says, hands on her hips now. "He's scared, Nico. Go make sure he's all right." "But..." His silence with a significant look, and Nikki sighs before hurrying to pull his boots on and grab his axe. "This better not be part of your crusade for me to meet new people," he mutters, and his mother tuts and sits back down. "Hurry now," she says, completely ignoring his very valid point, "before breakfast gets cold." The man isn't hard to follow in the daylight. That in itself is odd. If the man really wanted to run away, he would be traveling more directly and discreetly, especially in wolf form. No, the man seems to be searching for something through the trees, stopping by dense patches of underbrush before hurrying on. Nikki curses under his breath as he struggles to follow. If it wasn't for his mother, bless her. They've heard of werewolves before, of course. Every traveler has different stories about them. Some regard them as monsters hiding in plain sight, while others speak of them as a welcome part of their community, bringing additional skills and protection to their village. The latter has always made more sense to Nikki. What he and his team wouldn't do for better senses and mobility, especially at night. Besides, his father had helped him understand how no creature was a monster, not even predators, or else what would they call humans? Finally, Nikki finds the man again, deep in the woods and still in his wolf form. He's in a hidden clearing close to a stream, sunlight dappled overhead, and the man, wolf, is scrabbling at a fallen tree, paws getting stuck between the massive branches and foliage. Despite the wolf's intimidating size, he does not have much luck shifting the tree either. Nikki steps forward and the wolf snarls, crouching low to the ground and covering the tree with his body. "I can help," Nikki says, hoping the man understands him in wolf form. "You want to move this tree, yes?" When he looks closer, he can just see an opening in the ground, leading under the rocks. "A den? To get in there." The man stares at him, eyes narrowed. Nikki is definitely starting to spot the differences between a normal wolf and a werewolf, he thinks, especially with the eyes. They are still wolf eyes and a wolf's face, but something about them, about this man. Their stare off is interrupted by a sound, a tiny, pitiful sound that makes Nikki's heart clench. The wolf's head snaps around, snout pushing against the obstructing tree, Nikki forgotten as his desperation renews. Suddenly it all makes sense. "Let me help," Nikki urges quietly. "I can cut some of this tree away and move it aside. Please." The wolf looks back at him, eyes flicking between Nikki's face and his axe, before another tiny sound comes from inside the den, weaker than before. Finally, slowly, the wolf slinks backwards to give Nikki room. "Thank you," Nikki says, and starts pulling at the obstruction until he can get a clear shot at it. Much of the foliage is tangled with the underbrush, but if he can move the trunk, hyper-aware of the eyes on his back, Nikki raises his axe and gets to work. It doesn't take much. And the moment he lowers the axe and hauls the wood aside, the wolf is crowding past him, whining as he crawls into the den. It's not one made for wolves, Nikki thinks, but rather a smaller creature's den the man had used, possibly in desperation, judging by his state last night. There is a pause, and then the wolf is shuffling back out again. This time there is something clutched in his mouth, a small, dark-haired bundle of fur hanging limply by the scruff of its neck when the wolf straightens again. The sight squeezes Nikki's heart anew, and he drops down next to them. The wolf steps back, but his right leg buckles and he stumbles. Instinctively, Nikki cups his hands under the baby. "The pup?" As the wolf whimpers in pain and struggles to stay upright. "Here," Nikki says quietly, pulling his coat off and quickly folding it up. "It looks cold." The wolf only holds out for a moment longer before gently placing the pup onto Nikki's coat. It barely adds any extra weight. Nikki looks back up just in time to see the wolf's legs give out, collapsing sideways and twitching in the grass before his spine arches and he transforms back into a man, slower this time. Nikki can't help but stare until the man is fully human again and then look hastily away when he realizes the man is naked. Of course he is. Nikki just hadn't been so aware of it last night in the dark. He looks down at their new addition instead, trying to bundle his coat into a better shape to retain warmth. The poor thing looks rather worse for wear, thin and grimy, its occasional shivers the only sign of movement. "Is she still alive?" Nikki startles and looks up to find the man lying on his back, eyes closed. He looks utterly exhausted. Every rise and fall of his chest labored. The adrenaline from the run must be wearing off. His right arm is bleeding again. "Yes, she is," Nikki replies, and the man lets out a noise that is painfully close to a sob. "I think it's best we bring her home soon, though. Get some food in her and warm her up." The man scrubs a hand over his face before turning to look up at Nikki. He starts and then sighs. You are the strangest huntsman I have ever met. And you are the strangest man I have ever met, Nicky says. I'm Niccolo, by the way. The man says, and sits up. Yusuf. And the little one. Yusuf leans down over the pup and doesn't answer, just checks her over with his hands, nose close to her fur. We should get her home, Nicky says again. But any further words die in his throat as Yusuf's head snaps around, expression furious. There is no home, Yusuf grits out, almost nose to nose with Nicky. Not since the huntsman. He tries to pick up the pup, but his arms are trembling, and the baby lets out a pained yip as she's moved. Yusuf lets out a wounded noise of his own, hands hovering over her tiny form. She's the last one left, Yusuf whispers, and his words press against Nikki's heart like a phantom touch. She was the only one I could, when they came, for no reason. Yusuf's shoulders shudder and he presses the heels of his hands roughly against his eyes. Nicky reaches out before catching himself. Yusuf is wound so tight, and Nicky is the last person he'll want comfort from. I am sorry, Nicky says instead, woefully inadequate, but all he can offer. But if you come back with me, and you mean no harm to the village, I promise that no harm will come to you or her. I promise, he pauses. Has anyone followed you here? I don't. Yusuf shakes his head, like he's trying to clear it. I lost track of how long we ran for. They chased us one village to the next, gathering huntsmen along the way. But I think I lost them. I got hurt, and I'm not sure. It's all right, Nicky says. Let's worry about the little one first. There's an awkward moment when Yusuf goes to stand and seems to realize he is naked for the first time. Nicky hurries to pull out the pants Yusuf had discarded by the house, tucked hastily into his coat pocket, and Yusuf takes them with a muttered, thank you, before turning around to pull them on. Nicky focuses carefully on lifting the precious bundle cradled in his arms. The pup whimpers, nose tucked under one paw, and Nicky can feel his heart melting, can feel it reforming around the baby in his arms. I can take her, Yusuf says, but Nicky shakes his head. Your arms are still injured. I can carry her if you lead us back. I will be very careful. I promise. Yusuf opens his mouth, but then seems to change his mind, nodding curtly and turning on his heel. Despite his lack of shoes, Yusuf is sure and swift through the forest. Nicky follows behind, watching the way the sunlight dances through Yusuf's curls and across his back. In his human form, Yusuf is all lithe movement and lean muscle, and even in his exhausted state, he seems alert to every sound and movement around them. It makes Nicky think of all the rumors he's heard about werewolves, and he wonders which are true and which are merely myth. He supposes he'll begin to find out if Yusuf and the little one recuperate with him. Well, him and his mama, of course. As the trees begin to thin out, Yusuf pauses, and Nicky stops next to him. The pup seems to have fallen asleep, tiny stomach rising and falling with steady breaths. Nicky can't stop checking every few seconds, and Yusuf leans over to check too, curls almost brushing Nicky's cheek. Niccolo, Yusuf says, then looks away, clearing his throat. Thank you for yesterday and today. Thank me when she is well again, Nicky says, and nudges Yusuf gently with his elbow. You can call me Nicky, by the way. I see, Yusuf says, and when he looks back, there is a hint of a smile around his lips. Nicky is sure he has a lovely smile. You can call me Joe. Pleased to meet you, Joe, Nicky says, leading them out of the woods and towards the warm promise of home. The end.